Welcome to Budget Weddings NYC for you, and thank you for hanging in awaiting my return. As you may know, if you read my New York City Budget Weddings Elegant and Affordable Facebook page, you know that my father-in-law died last month. And since I am the writer of the family, I was tapped to write various parts of the wake and the funeral, and of course help out with the various things that are going on surrounding the funeral and the get-togethers. Thankfully, my guests at the time were gracious enough to allow me to postpone their interview, which was previously scheduled. And so tonight, please enjoy that interview, which is with a couple who wrote a book that I highly endorse. Their book could go with my pre-marriage course quite easily, that you may remember that I developed before about 2 or 3 years ago. Their book is currently, of course, on Kindle, and I hope after the interview that you'll hear part one of, that you do decide to purchase the book. No matter what the age of your marriage or how soon you're about to get married, this is the book for you to do a couple's paradigm shift, so you might even realize that Disney-like or Disney type of marriage of living happily ever after. Now, that is along with the caveat of understanding each other better. Our guests this evening are Ashley and Marcus Cousy, who have filled a vacuum that until you are married, you may not even know that you need it. While getting to know each other, you believe probably that you have talked everything out. You've deemed that you love each other and it's time to get married. You become engaged and experience the ups and downs of that transition, and then you get married. You may believe all is settled and you don't have to do anything more within your relationship, but that is far from true. Did you cover the big three that will come up within the first 3 years of your marriage? Maybe even the first couple of months of your marriage? Probably not. Marcus and Ashley will fill you in on what to be aware of within your relationship. Oh, and by the way, I mentioned a workshop that my fiance at the time, who, you know, now my husband, that we took prior to our marriage. And I couldn't remember the name of the husband team. So it is, the full name is from, they are from the Imago, I-M-A-G-O, Institute. And it's Harville Hendricks and Helen LaHunt. And that was, I don't remember the name of the title of the book. But look them up and you'll see it's in reference to the Imago Institute. So please welcome and enjoy part one of the interview with Marcus and Ashley Cousy, K-U-S-I, speaking about and from their book, First Year of Marriage.
What prompted you to write the book, and who started to write the book first?
Well, this book, First Year of Marriage, is the book that that we wished was out there when we first got married. When we started the blog years ago, we did it in mind of wanting to write the book. We wanted to have a place to share, like, all our lessons and the mistakes that we learned from, so that other newlyweds could learn from our mistakes and hopefully not have to make the same ones. And we talked about it, that we wanted to write it. So I generally do most of the writing, and then Marcus comes in and goes through it with me, and he brings in, you know, research points that we should hit on and what is his point of view.
Okay. I like that. That sounds really cool, a cool way to write a book with your partner. Now, how soon after your marriage did you have another... Did you have something else to add, Marcus?
Everything stemmed from the fact that when we were newlyweds, just like Ashley was saying, there wasn't any research that was checked or newlyweds for why the couple was sharing the official marriage experience. So that was the main reason that prompted us to start the blog. And then we decided we were going to, based on everything we ran out there, put everything into the form of a book. And that really was the beginning for everything from us. And we also wanted to have a blog that wasn't focused on everything being religious, because there are some couples who are not religious, but we still wanted them to gain the perspective that we're sharing via the blog. And in the beginning, in the beginning of our marriage, our goal was to maybe get married 10, 15 years and then start a blog like this. But then as we sat down, we talked about it, we realized this is the time, like, we have the information right in our heads. We should just put it out there, and if other couples will learn from it, they will learn from it. If they're not interested, don't be interested. But from everything we've done up to this date, there are a lot of couples and newlyweds who have expressed interest and shown appreciation for us, sharing our lessons and our first-year story with them, and also motivating them to get a better, put a strong foundation for their marriages.
Okay. And so you said you started the blog first. Was it right after marriage, or was it a couple of, how long have you been married?
We've been married since 2010, and we started the blog in 2013.
Oh, okay. So it was 3 years after, or 2.5 years after. And what was, what was the issue that determined you to write the book? Was there one specific issue within your marriage, or were you seeing things in other people's marriages that you thought, okay, this something needs to be written?
It was just, we realized that how a lot of our issues were just things that, you know, if we learned these few key things, we would have a much smoother relationship. So from effective communication to misunderstandings, and then for me in the beginning, I had a lot of insecurities to work through. So just finding out, you know, working through those, we're like, whoa, wait, this is such a simple fix. You know, if we had just learned this ahead of time, you know, we would have had a much smoother first year, first few years.
Right. And it's kind of like exactly what you said about not having that book available to you while you're getting, when you're getting married, is exactly how I wrote my book, is that there was no book available in New York for a budget wedding. If we, if there was a person like ourselves, we wanted to get married within a certain price point, and there were all these books that were just general. So, and I say all of that. So, have you found that after you wrote the book, there have been lots of couples who have either written you or in your environs or have communicated to you what a great find it has been?
Yeah, actually, what's been surprising is that we've had a lot of older couples that have been married, you know, 10, 15, 20 plus years, who really find this book useful. They're like, man, I wish I had this when I first started out. And they're saying that how it kind of reminds them on things that they've maybe become taken for granted and become lax on. So it's kind of like a refresher course. And that's been the most interesting to me, is that point of it.
Yeah. And the other point was with, because we focus mostly on being a non-religious book, a lot of couples who are into marriage counseling are able to pick out our book and be like, okay, this is a resource I can give to this person, even though the person might be gay, might be a lesbian, or might not be a Christian, or might not be religious at all. They are confident in being able to give the person a book that they know they'll be able to read and not feel they are being judged.
I like that. That's very good. So now, what was your... Actually, I'll come back to that. What do you find is most people's issue, main issue?
That would be communication. That's the one we get emails most about. is communication. That's our number one. Mm-hmm. And then our number two is trust. Trust issue.
Uh-huh. Yeah. For me, the way I see the communication issue is in marriage or in any other relationship, for you to have any problems, there's either no communication or there isn't an effective way that you guys are able to communicate your needs or communicate with each other. So if those two are missing in the relationship, you are bound to have a lot of issues in their relationship. And that is one thing that from everything that we've encountered with readers and people who send us questions on our podcast and via email, that is like the central theme. Mm-hmm. It's always almost about communication. Even though there is trust issues, we realize that if they were just able to communicate with each other really well, they could be able to solve that trust issue. Because you really cannot voice out your concerns about trust if you don't know how to communicate well with each other.
Mm-hmm. Part of that's very true.
Mm-hmm. Part of that communication is empathetic listening, where you're trying to see things through your spouse's point of view. Not that you have to agree with them, but you're just trying to see where they're coming from so that you're open-minded and you're listening to what they're saying instead of just being defensive and trying to get, you know, your point across. That's a really big issue when it comes to communication that we've discovered.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, how did you, were there books that you looked at in terms of before you started your blog and then subsequently the book? Were there other books that you looked towards for communication help or actually now I forget that question. I'm going to ask this question first. So what was the issue within your first 2 years of marriage that prompted you? Was it communication? Was it trust? Was it something else?
So in our first year of marriage, the biggest issue that we had was communication issues. And for anybody who's listening to us, I am from Ghana. I wasn't born and raised in the U.S. Ashley was born and raised in the U.S. So we are coming from two different cultural backgrounds. And with our communication, the way I speak English is completely different from the way Ashley speaks English. There are certain words that she uses that means, like, that will make me angry. But for her, it's something that is just for fun. It's not really...
Like, I called him silly once, and we were joking around, but he took that as I was calling him stupid, and that was, like, a big insult to him.
Yeah, I felt offended because that word is used... Whenever it's used, it comes with an offensive tone. So it's something that I wouldn't call anybody, but when she called me, I felt really offended with that, and I was really angry about it. But we talked about it. And even apart from just having different cultural differences, we realize that the way we speak as male and female, as husband and wife, is completely different. For her, she expresses a lot of things emotionally. I would be, like, straight to the point. This is it, like, black and white. And so...
I think you mean with detail.
With detail. And so once we realized we were having a lot of communication issues, we sat down with each other and then we thought, okay, how can we communicate better? How can we learn how to communicate effectively so we can get our points across? And we don't end up in arguments over the same issues almost every single day or every other day of the week. So we sat down and then we came up with our own plan. We read a ton online, but we weren't getting anything that was step by step. And most of the things I read online didn't even touch on empathetic listening, which is basically putting yourself into your spouse's shoes, trying to understand their point of view. Like, most of them didn't even talk about it. So we discovered, like, a 7-step method that we realized was really helping us. And based on the success we had on that, we wrote a blog about it to share with our readers. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people found it useful. And based on the response and feedback we got from that, we were able to create a book out of that. Actually, really short ebook, and it was getting a ton of downloads, and there was demand for it. So based on it, we also wrote a different book, which was Communication in Marriage, and that book has really done well. We've gotten a lot of emails and feedback from readers who have loved reading that book, and we're really happy that even though we didn't go out there to read a ton of books, the little things that we discovered that we implemented in our relationship helped us to communicate effectively.
One thing that I wanted to mention was that Marcus and I, we come from two different families, and in my family, when a couple have an argument, there was a lot of belittling. Things were thrown, lots of shouting. It was actually a really abusive situation. So learning how to communicate effectively and respectfully has been a huge learning curve for me. It started our first year of marriage when we were going to have an argument, and Marcus just said, I need to walk away before we both say something we're going to regret. I need to cool down. And that was just like a light bulb switch for me. I was like, wait a minute, we don't have to fight this way? And then it got me thinking, like, how would he feel if I talked to him, or how would I feel if he talked to me the way I talked to him? And so that really got me thinking. And so one of the things that I did to help with that communication was I was very, very hot-headed, and I didn't have a lot of patience when I first got married. I was really quick to get angry. So I just had to remind myself to remain calm when I started to feel that emotion and the frustration or anger rising. I had to take an extra minute, you know, just breathe and ask him, this is what I think you mean. Is this what you mean? And that really just started turning things around for us.
Okay. All righty. And do you also, Marcus, do you agree with that? Or, well, actually, that's my question.
can you please repeat the question again? The line was breaking a little bit.
Oh, well, Ashley was saying that she had to step back and take a breath before going on with with your discussion if you disagreed about anything. So I was actually asking, do you also agree that from your perspective, would you do the same, or how would you handle it for yourself?
So based on everything that was going on, like, personally, I'm a very patient guy, like very, very patient. And because I was very patient, like that really helped us. So instead of me encouraging the argument, because, you know, she's thinking one way and, okay, this is my way, and I was going to be thinking my way, I was more calm and relaxed just to be able to hear her out and see how best, you know, when she's not feeling angry anymore, when she's not frustrated, we can have a really better conversation so we can solve the issue. And that really helped us, you know, especially with her being able to put herself in my shoes and be like, okay, if I was the one listening, would I be happy with everything I'm hearing from my spouse? And, you know, that really, like, hits home when you put yourself into another person's shoes, because you don't really know what they are feeling until you try to put yourself in their shoes.
Okay. So now, you mentioned, the two of you mentioned that communication and trust are the first two things. What do you think are the next things that couples during their first couple of years will have disagreement about?
Finances is a big one. It's like really, really huge one. And for us in the beginning, we had some financial difficulties. It wasn't a ton, but we were raised with different financial backgrounds. So being able to come together and work on our finances, like creating a budget together, sitting down to discuss our needs, what goes into the budget, the future plans that we have for our money, for our financial goals, when we wanted to buy a house, whether we want to go to debt or live rent free. It was all part of the process that helped us with us being able to solve our financial issues. And apart from the finances, I think the other thing will be the expectations that newlyweds have for each other. Because prior to marriage, you might have gone for premarital counseling, you might have read a ton of books. But once you get married, you realize that there are some expectations that you never thought existed. And once you are married, now they become something that you feel the spouse is not meeting that expectation, but you've not voiced it out to them. And being able to solve those expectation issues helps a lot with being able to have a really smooth first year of marriage.
When growing up in the different homes that we grow up in than our spouse, our expectations of a wife's role and a husband's role, or, you know, all the different daily activities that we do, we have these expectations that, oh, well, my dad always changed the oil in the car, so that means my husband's going to take care of that when we get married. or, you know, things like that. Like, oh, well, my mom always had dinner on the table, and so that's going to happen with my wife, and maybe the wife doesn't like to cook at all. So just being able to verbalize those expectations, not just in your daily life, but, like, where you see your marriage going and how you picture your marriage and your home.
Do you think that, or did you have conversations prior to your marriage about any of these four issues that we just discussed?
Okay. Yeah, we had a ton of conversations. The thing is, from our experience, you would have the conversation. Like, you'll be on the same page, or you might not be on the same page, but once you get married and everything starts coming into the picture, you're newly married, everybody's like, okay, when are you guys going to have kids? When are you going to buy a house? When are you going to buy a car?
I think there's a difference between theorizing and then actually living it. You think you know what you're going to want and how you're going to react, and then you're actually there. And not only that, but it can change as you evolve through your marriage.
Yeah, I agree. I know that just really quickly, my husband and I, before we got married, we were engaged for 5 years, and we knew each other 9 years before we got married, and we had never had a fight of any kind. And I know, which is amazing. I mean, we wouldn't agree on certain things, but it was usually just laughed off, and we came together. But about 2.5 years after we were married, my husband was bragging to someone and saying, oh, we've never had a fight, blah, 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 blah. Then it's like it completely deteriorated, and we were always having fights. But we got through that valley. So
that's one question we get asked about, actually, is, well, what if you've been dating for years already and then you get married? You can't be having these same issues, you know, because we met and married within 5 months, which is shocking. But, we get that question a lot. Well, we've been dating for 5 years, you know, how can we have these same issues? Oh, we got communication under control, you know.
Yes, that's not true. But, yes, as we found out, we thought we were communicating. And we had actually, this brings me back to my next question, but we had actually gone to a premarital course offered through my church, but it wasn't a premarital, it was actually it was a course on communication, and you probably have heard of, let me think of what their names are, Harville and Helen LeHunt, yes, I've gotten Harville's last name though, I don't remember his last name. But they have a book on how to communicate, and by putting yourself in your partner's shoes, basically. And we had gone through that. It was wonderful. And actually, right after that course, my husband said, "All right, my fiance said, let's set a date." And so we set a date, and we got married within, I guess it was supposed to be a year and a half, but I think it was a year. So, my next question is, do you offer a course, or do you have a radio show for guidance?
Yes. Right now, we don't have a course for Newlywed. We have the First Year Marriage podcast, which we interview other couples to share their first year marriage stories. On iTunes, if anybody's interested, they just have to search for it in iTunes or on Stitcher Radio, or on Google Play, just search for First Year Marriage Show, and that will be right up. And we also have our blog, which is our website, and our book. Those are the three things that we have right now to share with Newlyweds. But down the road, our plan is to come out with a course that Newlyweds will actually appreciate faith and the feedback they give us to us via the book.
Tune in next week for the part two of this interview with Ashley and Marcus Cousy, also at 6:30 p.m., and that's next Friday, the 10th of December. In the meantime, don't forget my two books are on Kindle now or still, which are The 11 Secrets from NYC Budget Weddings, and also, of course, the original book, New York City Budget Weddings, Elegant and Affordable. Also, here's another shameless plug. I'm starting a 28-day weight-release TNT course before the end of this year. It's a plan that initially was to be only for brides, but since I am no longer a bride and I'm still participating in this TNT plan, I thought I'd share it with the rest of you. It's a plan to obviously release weight through the New Thought Way, which is based on my newest book, Spiritual Identity, Weight Release Through Affirmation, Prayer, and Affirmation. So that's AFF4, that's Noah St. John's Affirmations, and Prayer and Affirmations. And actually, there are four other systems and three helping principles within the New Thought Way principle. I've already had one set of a five-day dare, and next Wednesday, the 7th, we'll start another one. And this one is a new and improved version. My aim is that we start directly after Christmas so that we can start to feel, so that we don't start to feel sad or bad about the weight we've joyfully gained through the holiday season. So that would be Wednesday the 28th. And that'll take us through almost to the end of January. So this is also not a resolution-inducing exercise. I don't want you to think of it, oh, I've got to lose weight, I'm going to do this, then don't do anything else the entire year, and then wonder, well, Charlena said this would work. How come it's not working? Well, it's not a deprivation plan. It's not a plan in which you have to give up lots of things. It's not that at all. But tune in. It's more of a renewal of your body through your spirit. And if you remember that our spirit is our real self. First, on the 7th of December, 2016, we'll start the new and improved five-day dare. And then on the 27th of September, the TNT Weight Release 28-day program will start. Now, please, at this point, please email me at CPF, that's as in Charlena Pearson Fuchsia, at budgetweddingsnyc.com. If you'd like to have me add you to the Facebook free five-day program, or if you'd like more information about the upcoming TNT Weight Release 28-day program, I hope you'll join me. And there are, of course, bonuses that I'll tell you all about when you attend either or both of them. Now, my next upcoming guest is a jewelry designer with delicate-looking jewelry. I've never had the opportunity to talk on my show with an outgoing artisan. Most of them are, for some reason, shy. They don't mind talking one-on-one, but when I have offered them a guest spot on my radio show, they've said, oh, sure, but then I can never get them, email or calling. This young woman is going to come and talk to us about her beautiful, and they are quite beautiful, jewelry. I think you'll be blown away, and she'll tell you about her website and where you can find them. Also, just to let you know, it's both intriguing and beautiful. So I don't want you to feel that I know that I am not overhyping this. Now, please remember to join me in 1 week for the second half of Marcus and Ashley Cousy interview. Again, that is on the 9th of December at 6:30 p.m. Thanks for being patient and tuning in.